If you would, look in your Bibles this morning at Philippians chapter 3. Today's Sunday, July the 26th, 2026. We're going to begin in Philippians chapter 3. This morning, we're going to review something that we already know. And why do we do that? Why do we review things that we already know? Philippians 3:1 says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed, it's not grievous, but for you, it is safe," or it's a safeguard. You know, sometimes they have guardrails in different places to keep you from going from where you are to way maybe where you don't want to go. Hebrews 2:1, you don't need to turn there. It says in Hebrews 2:1, "We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip or slip away." And I'm sure you know there's many verses that talk about this kind of thing. Stand fast in the Lord, hold on to His word, don't be deceived, don't be like children tossed to and fro. So we're repeating, reviewing things, and it's so good to keep especially the basics fresh and solid in our lives. That takes humility. It really does. And this morning we're going to review a little bit about the grace of God. So if you would go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us." Now, before we keep reading this section, let's just stop for a second. A lot of people see God as, kind of like an outside source for help. Something goes on. Let me check, see if God can help me. But, you know, God Almighty, He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. All of it. He created the trees and all the beautiful plant life and all the animals and the universe. That's who God is. And all of this is His, belongs to Him. Isn't there a verse in Proverbs or Psalms, the earth is mine and the fullness thereof? This is all His. He's supreme. And He's a God of love. God, it says there in verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us." God's grace and mercy is based on His very nature being love. God is love, the scriptures say. Verse 4 again, "God, rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." Verse 8, "For by grace are you saved," in case you missed it a couple of verses before, "for by grace are you saved through faith," or believing, and that would be the right way of believing, "and that not of yourselves." It's the gift of God. Salvation is the gift of God by God's grace. Verse 9, "not of works, lest any man should boast." How clear it is in the scriptures. I don't know why there are preachers who preach you must do enough good works to be saved. And then verse 10 is really cool because it says, "For we're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Grace, I think you know, means favor. It's divine favor when we're talking about God's grace. And grace means unearned, undeserved. That's pretty cool. Unearned, undeserved. Keep your finger here and just back up to Romans 3 for a second. Romans 3. Another familiar verse. In Romans chapter 3, verse 24, it says, being justified freely. When you read justified and righteous and righteousness, all come from the same word. It's kind of a legal term. It basically means to be right according to a legal standard. And the legal standard here is God's legal standard. We were justified, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Salvation is by grace. It's a gift. It's not earned. Being justified, made right in God's eyes, is by grace, not by our works. So we go back to Ephesians 4. Being justified or righteous, having salvation, eternal life, God's gift of Holy Spirit, all the rights, privileges, and abilities that go with the new birth, it's all by God's grace, unearned, not deserved, not of any of our works. And that's why when in Ephesians 2:10. For because of all that, now we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We don't do good works to get saved. We do good works because we are saved. Believing regarding Jesus Christ is what gave us access to this salvation that's freely given by God's grace. We simply accepted God's invitation. You know, we believed Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We just said, okay, and God went, okay. Here it is. Not of works, but His goodness, His grace, which is based on His love. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Everybody there? Cool. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 2 says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Not added, multiplied. Isn't that cool? Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Probably a good place to get the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord would probably be in the Bible. Anybody agree? Okay, good. According, verse 3, as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that's called us to glory and virtue. The word knowledge that comes up in verse 2 and in verse 3 means acknowledgement. It's not the basic word for knowledge for you Greek scholars in the room. It has a preposition in front of it, epi. And it literally means acknowledgement. Acknowledgement. Not just knowing something, but acknowledging it. We believe it. And the more we read and understand and believe His words, that opens the door for us to receive more of God's good grace. God wants to bless us. And again, this is not new stuff. It's not like, oh my gosh, God wants to bless us? Oh, His grace. I know it's not new. We're reviewing. And, you know, we've met people before that maybe would have the attitude, oh, I know that. I know that. I'm saved by grace. I know that. I learned that a long time ago. That's fine. Reviewing something we already know is not only a safeguard, keeps us in the right path from falling off, getting deceived, whatever. but it also reinforces what we already know. And reviewing stuff also can increase the depth of understanding that we have in the topic, in that area. And again, reviewing and re-reviewing takes humility. Well, I know that, right? You know, it takes humility to go, well, maybe I could learn a little more. Maybe I could get a little greater depth of understanding there. A great key in accepting God's grace, 1 Peter 5 says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. That's a great verse for an ego check, isn't it? God resists the proud, but gives grace. Undeserved, unearned divine favor he gives to the humble. So verse 2 again. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Every church epistle opens with God's grace and peace. And, you know, we talked, I think, last week about a little bit about forgiveness. Go to 1 Corinthians 15, a really good key in accepting the forgiveness that God has for all of us, for all things. 1 Corinthians 15. I would think that forgiveness from God would have to fall in a category of grace, wouldn't you? Unearned and undeserved. You know, where we read, I think last week in Colossians, he's forgiven us everything, all trespasses. That's got to be grace, don't you think? We're going to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9. Paul said, I'm the least of the apostles. It's not meet for me to even be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But, verse 10, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And it's by the grace of God, we are who we are. And we are who God says we are as a born-again one. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Three times in that verse, grace, 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 grace. That's how Paul overcame all the junk in his past. He accepted God's grace. He believed who God said he was as a result of the new birth, which is not of works, but by grace. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to go to verse 7. And lest I should be, we're in 12:7 of 2 Corinthians, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, and Paul had an abundance of revelations, didn't he? Oh my goodness. Lots, including the mystery. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh. And I think you understand that from looking at other scriptures, thorn in the flesh, pricks in the side, pricks in the eyes, refers to people. There was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan. That's where these folks came from. To buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. It came from who? It came from Satan. Evil. There is evil in this world. No one would deny that, Christian or non-Christian. Is there any evil in this world? Yeah. No one would say, no, I don't see any. There is evil in this world, and all of it originates from the adversary, all of it. And Paul was attacked
to rob him of how blessed he was. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so Paul prayed, verse 8, "For this thing I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me." He prayed. And look what God told him, the answer to his prayer. Verse 9, "And he," God, "said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness.'" That was God's answer. The English Standard Version has it this way: "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" And then Paul said, "Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." In the Working Translation, it's this way: "And he said to me, 'My grace is adequate for you, for my power is perfectly accomplished in weakness.'" And Paul says, "Therefore I will most gladly boast even more in my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may reside in me." His boasting was a boasting of God. My grace is sufficient. The word sufficient means unfailing strength. My grace is unfailing strength for you. Well, that would be enough, wouldn't it? If God gave you unfailing strength, is that enough in the situation? Would it be lacking? No. It's enough. And Paul, like all of us, had to learn how to rely and trust in God's help and grace. We're not born that way. You've got to learn it. He talks a little bit about that in Philippians. So look at Philippians 4. Philippians chapter 4. We're going to go to verse 10. Philippians 4:10. "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity." Paul speaking of them helping him with his ministry. And verse 11, he says, "Not that I speak in respect of want." I'm not blessed because you helped me and now I don't have any want. "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." I have learned, whether it's good times or not so good times, whether it's abundant times or lean times, whether it's heavy pressure or not heavy pressure, whether it's something physical or not physical, I have learned to be content. Content does not mean to be satisfied with what you have or where you're at and just shut up. If you got four beans to eat for supper, just be content and shut up. It doesn't mean that. Content, this word content, is related to that word sufficient that we just saw in 2 Corinthians. My grace is sufficient, unfailing strength. It's related to that word. And this word content means having enough, self-sufficient. And we know where Paul's sufficiency came from God's grace. So in the leanest of times, by God's grace, Paul had enough. He learned. He said, "I learned." Is that what it said?
Yep.
I have learned. Learned how to trust for God's grace in any situation. We'll keep reading. Verse 12. "I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. everywhere and in all things. I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Notwithstanding, you have done well that you did communicate with my affliction. In other words, they sent the help that Paul needed. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only, that great law of giving and receiving. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. You blessed me, you helped me, you sent to me, not, verse 17, because I desire a gift, but I desire that fruit may abound to your account. He was blessed that they were giving to him. Certainly, it blessed him. It helped him with his ministry. But he was blessed because he knew they were going to receive a blessing back because of the great law of giving and receiving that God set up from the very beginning. Giving and receiving. That fruit would abound to their account. So he's blessed that fruit would abound to their account, that they'd get blessed because they were giving. But whether they did or didn't, Paul knew that his sufficiency came from God's grace. Does that make sense? Can you see that? Verse 18, he said, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall what? Supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What a great promise. You know, Paul said, I'm blessed that you're helping me. That's great. Not because I want. I've learned in whatever situation, God will take care of me. But I'm so blessed because fruit's going to abound to your account. But whether or not they gave or not, God, he had learned that God was going to take care of him one way or another. What a great trust in God. And he wasn't born that way. You know, it's a learning to absolutely trust God. You know, he told them that he had learned it and that they could learn it too. And to end this thing with, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So Paul knew how to be blessed in the good times, lean times, because of God's grace. And because of God's grace, he had enough. Enough for what? Well, in the leanest of times, he had enough. In the abundant times, he had enough plus extra. For extra things, but in both cases, he was still self-sufficient. He had everything that he needed because of God's grace. Paul learned to trust God in every situation, mental or physical. We can learn to do the same thing. Trust God for his grace in the abundant times, in the lean times, in the easy times, and in the tough times, physically or mentally. We trust God. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. A couple more. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We don't put our trust in our jobs or our savings. We trust in the one who provided the job or the savings for us. Jobs sometimes go away. Some of you may have encountered that. Sometimes jobs go away that we didn't want them to go away. Some of us have been there before. I have. Some of you have too. The Bible says God's a very present help in time of trouble. So we just continue to trust God. We don't trust in people. Sometimes people can disappoint. We put our trust in God to provide enough. We don't trust in the government. We learn to trust God for his grace. And if God's grace was enough for Paul, It'll be enough for us. It absolutely will be. And it starts really with humility and reverence to God and His Word. God gives grace to the humble. Remember we read, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the acknowledgement of God and His Son. Not just knowing, but the acknowledgement of it. In 2 Corinthians 9:8, very familiar verse, and I know the context is connected with giving and receiving, but verse 8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you. What do we read in Peter? Grace and peace multiplied unto you. Here's, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Sufficiency here is from the same word as content that we saw in Philippians 4. Having enough, self-sufficiency, in the leanest of times, by God's grace, we'll have enough. God is able. Who's able? God's able. Because many times we aren't able. We need His grace. And boy, some of the words in this verse are just awesome, aren't they? God is able to make all grace abound, always, all sufficiency, all things abound to every good work by His grace. The English Standard Translation is, and God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. In the Working Translation, it is God, and God is able to make all favor abound unto you so that you always, having all adequacy in everything, may abound to every good work. We look to God for His grace, for His favor, His kindness, because He promised it. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you, God says. God is able to make all grace abound to you. Paul said, my God shall supply all your need. He promised it. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, two more. Hebrews chapter 4. This is exciting to look at, isn't it? It's a little bit uplifting. It's a bit encouraging that God's divine favor, undeserved, unearned, is available to His people. Because He's a God of love. He's a God that wants to bless us. Verse in the Old Testament, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking to show Himself strong in behalf of them that love and reverence Him. He's looking to bless. So when we got born again, God gave us an abundance of His great grace. But all of that grace that God freely poured out on us at the moment of the new birth was not the end of His grace available to us. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Not a physical throne, but what great imagery this is. A throne room of not judgment, not punishment. It's a throne room of grace. Whenever we pray, we're standing before the throne room of grace. Let's come boldly. And boldly, by the way, means to speak openly, freely, hold nothing back. You know, especially when times are crappy. Well, go to the throne room. I'm dealing with some crap. I need some help. Where's the best place to go in difficult times? How about the throne room of grace? That's where I want to head to. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Why? That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Whatever we're going through, come to the throne room of grace. looking for his grace to help.
And the grace he gives will be enough.
It will absolutely be enough.
And we come humbly. That's why it's really cool that mercy's in there. You know, mercy is where you deserve punishment, but you don't get it. Grace is favor that you don't deserve or earn, but you get. Mercy is the withholding of punishment. And we know that's true because God forgave us of everything. And when we do screw up, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
It's really beautiful. You know, part of that humility part is, at least in my mind, when I think of humility toward God, I think of God is right, period. Doesn't matter what I think, doesn't matter what I feel, God's right, period.
That's part of being humble to God's word.
We just say yes to God's word. We're going to close in Ephesians where we were kind of at the beginning. Ephesians 2. We were just there.
There's obviously tons of verses we could look at that show God's grace, but I hope looking at a few of these was inspiring, encouraging, maybe connecting some dots. And I thought it would be fun to end with this. We read it, but I didn't really point it out. Ephesians 2:5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Verse 7. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. The exceeding riches of his grace is coming in the ages to come for us. No wonder it says in Romans, I reckon that the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed in us. There's even more grace in the ages to come. He's a God of all grace because of his great love. So, Father, thank you for your great love, the abundance of your grace that you've made available because we need it. We need your help. And, Father, may we continue to do our best to love you and love your word and your son. And Father, how blessed we are to know that we didn't deserve any of this, but because of the completed work of Jesus Christ, we have it all. So thank you for loving us that big and giving us that much. I pray, Father, for everyone here, for those that are on the hookup, those that might hear the recording later. I pray, Father, we could have a blessed week. I pray that there would be open doors for us to share your love with someone. And thank you again for your love for each one of us individually. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.